Welcome to a Prevent Connect podcast, where we explore the prevention of violence against women. This is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault.
Hello, this is David Lee from Prevent Connect, and I am speaking this afternoon with Andrea Quijada of the Media Literacy Project in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Good afternoon.
Thanks for having me, David.
In June of this year, you're going to be presenting a training called Deconstruct This, Media Literacy for Sexual Violence Prevention. And this is going to be hosted by the Ohio Domestic Violence Network. In that training, can you describe what you're going to be doing?
There are going to be two staff that will be providing the training. Over the course of those 2 days, we're going to be providing an introduction to media literacy. And we define media literacy as the ability to access, analyze, evaluate, and create media messages of all kinds. We believe that those skills are really essential given today's world and the climate of how much media all of us interact with on a regular basis. And particularly as media continues to shift and change and become more accessible from messages that we can get on our cell phones to pop-ups on the internet, we think it's really important that we all have that ability to not only deconstruct messages, but also construct them. And in those 2 days, we're going to cover a range of media, including magazine advertising, television and film clips. We may even do some radio. I think we're finalizing some of our media examples. And we're really going to look at, in terms of mainstream media, how are women in particular represented and or misrepresented, and what media ownership has to do with some of that. We really want to make the connections also to the larger picture. So what does it mean if only 3% of mainstream television media are owned by people of color? What does that mean then for how people of color then are represented in media? And how does racism play into sexual assault? How does sexism play a role in sexual assault? And we really want to provide sort of that big picture for folks and then break that down into hands-on curriculum that people can integrate into the programs that they're already doing. And what I found to be true is that most of us who have done any kind of sexual assault prevention or domestic violence prevention have used media or at least talked about media with our audiences. For example, prior to my working here, when I did prevention for a rape crisis center here in town, I would often reference a commercial with a group of students, and I'd say, how many of you have seen this one commercial? And we would have a conversation about it, even though we didn't have the clip necessarily. Most of us understand the importance of addressing media as we talk about the role that culture plays in shaping ideas and attitudes and behaviors.
Can you talk a little about what are some of the key steps that you think about in how to deconstruct media?
I want to encourage folks to check out our website because our general and basic introduction to media literacy handout is available on our website for anyone who may already be doing this work and just wants a tool to sort of get everyone using the same language, so to speak. With adults, I will talk more about the basic concepts of media literacy, such as media construct our culture, media messages contain values and viewpoints of the media makers themselves. And within that, we can even break down again media ownership, media policy in particular. And then from there, we go into talking about techniques of persuasion. And most of us have tried to persuade someone to do something at some point or another, help us with a grant, clean their room, whatever it is. And what we do is we provide a list and sort of identify and name these techniques that many of us are familiar with, and then talk about what does it mean when we see those techniques being used, particularly in advertising, and that it's not that the techniques themselves are necessarily bad or good, but what's the context in which those techniques are being employed, and what is the cultural impact that has when certain techniques are being used. For example, flattery in and of itself may or may not be a bad thing, but when an alcohol ad tends to flatter men by demeaning women, what is the impact that that technique then has on our culture?
And this is such an important piece of sexual violence prevention and domestic violence prevention, because indeed, to be able to create the change on a community and social level, we have to really look at how we change culture. And what you're doing is talking about skills to be able to really not just, as you said, deconstruct the media, but also how to construct media with the messages that we want to get out there.
Especially for those of us that may be doing or creating prevention messages of some sort. And this is where I think it's important for all of us to learn from various sectors of prevention that have existed, whether or not it's connected to sexual assault. And the Media Literacy Project has done some work extensively around tobacco and alcohol prevention through specific funding we've received for about 10 years from our Department of Health. And what we know to be true is that there, and there's been research put into this because of the Master Settlement Agreement in 98, where we saw a huge amount of monies being available for tobacco prevention, that the research has proven that when ads are fear-based, if young people aren't at the table in the creation of them, and if the ads blame individuals or point fingers at individuals, we don't see the change happen in behaviors and attitudes that we'd want to see happen. So we really look at the Truth Campaign as a wonderful model for prevention in general, even though that campaign is specific to tobacco. There are very real techniques that are used in that campaign that I think can be applied to all kinds of prevention. The use of humor, the use of understanding the larger context, and really pointing fingers at an industry as opposed to individuals.
In terms of dealing with sexual violence prevention and dating violence prevention, what are some of those implications?
For me, that means really looking at considering prevention campaigns that aren't fear-based, ensuring that the communities that you're trying to target are actually in the room and making decisions about the information you want to provide. And I'm talking simple, like everything from a brochure or a flyer to a 30-second PSA that some people may have funding for to play on their local channels. If people can't be brought into that space, making sure that you are able to focus group that information and making sure that it's really making the changes that you want to see happen.
You're talking about really important messages as we look at this, and especially now, media is in some ways more democratic than ever, because while you might not be able to get a PSA on television, we can easily create a video that we're going to have on YouTube. That we can easily have our Facebook page where we're going to be able to get information out, or even in our 140-character tweets, be able to find ways to be able to help frame our message.
The reason we are able to participate and have a democratic internet has a lot to do with our current rules around net neutrality. And I'm really glad you brought this up, because we have been fighting this year through our broadband campaign on ensuring network neutrality, because if those laws were to change, then that might mean we wouldn't be able to upload or even have people access our websites in the way that we need them to get our own messages out. So I encourage everyone who cares about ending sexual violence or ending domestic violence to really hold the FCC accountable and hold Congress accountable in ensuring that our internet remains neutral.
Great. Well, I want to really thank you for taking a few minutes to be able to talk with us today about the work that the Media Literacy Project's doing, and hope that your training in Ohio works well and that people who want to be able to learn more information about the Media Literacy Project to visit your website. And what is that address?
That address is medialiteracyproject.org.
Thank you very much, and we look forward to learning more about your work in the future.
Thank you so much, David.
Thank you for listening to this Prevent Connect podcast. Prevent Connect is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault, with funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The views presented on Prevent Connect are not necessarily the views of the United States government, the CDC, or CalCASA. To learn more about Prevent Connect, visit www.preventconnect.org. For more information about CalCASA's mission or to show your support, visit CalCASA.org. That's CalCASA.org.